This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, happy Monday. 2nd of July. It's July. Poppy, hi, morning.
Hello.
Yeah, so it's the two of us. It is
just the two of us.
It is
That's cozy.
It is actually quite cozy here today.
Super cozy.
But it means that because we're here, Gareth and Sia are away. They, I wouldn't say gallivanting overseas. They're going away on extreme business.
Okay, I call it gallivanting.
Well, okay, so the reason they're in England. Now, Gareth alluded to this last week, which is really nice to him because in the past, sometimes he just leaves and then he's away for a few more days than we expect and then it's fun. so he's arranged a whole bunch of, like, good interviews with English people. So him and Sierra take this opportunity to go over there. And be really cool. Like, it's Sierra's first time to London. Gareth goes there. I think it's the second time this year. So, I mean, he normally goes overseas about twice a year for work stuff. So that's a really cool thing for Sierra.
It's amazing. And England is just such an awesome mecca, a place to be, actually, in summer.
Well, exactly. So where they are right now is obviously their 2-3 weeks of summer, which coincides with Wimbledon, which starts this week.
Are they going to Wimbledon? I'll cry.
I don't think so. Mostly because Gareth doesn't care about sport, which I know you've picked up.
Oh, sure. Yes.
And then, Steele will be like, well, I can't go to Wimbledon because I don't wear white. So.
Well, he doesn't at all.
Sia only wears black.
Oh, snap. I didn't even pick that up.
Yeah, he's...
What do you mean he only wears black?
He will only ever wear an outfit. Like, he picked up the whole Simon Cowell thing back in the day.
What?
And it just lived with him forever and ever.
That's so much work to put into outfits, is that they must only be black.
Well, I don't know if you picked this up, but Sears hardly, you're under the more straightforward person. So, it's Poppy and I today. I think Gord's here somewhere.
Do you mean in the vicinity to the building, Joburg, Gauteng, the country?
Yeah, he's hardly a set of car keys, but he was meant to be here, I think.
Okay.
That was the general brief from last week.
And, I think it missed him.
Yeah, it definitely missed him. So it'll be the two of us, but the show goes on as per usual. I'm just looking through the running order, which Sia has expertly put together for us here. I'm going to throw away the cryptocurrency update because that's a waste of time. But Anthea will be in, like per usual. And Anthea, of course, has all the latest in the world of finance. And this is pretty rocky times right now. Currency-wise, the Rand is just ultra, ultra volatile.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of, let's just say, positivity around the economy in South Africa right now. But Anthea will always give you layers to why this is and where your money can go, what is worth looking at, and obviously what's really kind of dodgy.
Sure.
And then in the second hour, we've got Lesheko Zulu and Eric Vermeulen. They're coming in. Now, these people are ultra fit. They're ultra fit, incredible specimens.
I know Lesheko personally, and she's been like this since school.
Yeah, I think she was like this before she was – her DNA was aligned in such a way that she was always going to be like this. So to get your Monday off to a very positive start, we've got two great guests for you to come in. And then in the third hour, we have a replay. Let's get into that one at a time. Poppy, I think I'm giving too much.
I think you are too. It's okay. Yeah. It's Monday. You want to prepare peeps. I get it.
I'm a little bit flustered at the moment. So my idea, okay, because obviously Poppy's been here for all of 1 week.
Yeah.
We'll get to your first week in a bit. So Poppy's now in the second week, and she's very punctual. She gets here, real professional. So I thought, okay, I've got to get here like 10 to 6 so I can open up, make the place look respectable. She arrives, we get a show on the go. So then I kind of I battled to find my bike key because I'm back on the bike this week. So I left the apartment kind of late, and then there was no petrol. I had to think of petrol.
Yeah.
And it's like Monday morning at the petrol station. You're like, wake a guy up, and then you sort of find the credit card. It was a long story.
Jeepers. And you can't be like, yo, do you know what radio is?
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy. Anyway.
You can't be.
And then I just arrived here and realized I haven't got my laptop charger. So, it's Monday, let's go. Top draw.
This is definitely a bad Monday for you.
Well, I can only get better. So, if you want to be part of the show, as per usual, the WhatsApp line. I know we've had some issues, and I do apologize for this. We've had some issues with our connectivity with the whole message-to-screen thing. But you can go ahead, 079-748-2090. And, of course, the exact same applies to Telegram. So whether you like Telegram, whether you like the WhatsApp, it's all very much like it would be at any other stage. Gareth here. No Gareth here. Gareth and Sia will be joining us over the Skype, so they're not going to be completely cold turkeying us. They are just going to get their sort of travels out the way. And then here we are. We'll all be together again. I don't know. Like, see, if I should phone Gord, is he safe? Is he okay? I don't know.
So what usually happens in these situations is that you give someone an hour. If you do not hear from him or their next of kin, then he probably overslept, and it's okay.
So, Popular Friday, you were saying that you had like a lunch date.
Crikey!
It was a big part of the show on Friday because you know you layer by layer you were revealing more of yourself to the audience. So how did that go?
To be honest with you, I suppose I should tell you the story. So I got to this place and I arrived 5 minutes late because I always feel like I'm always on time and people don't respect that. And I was like, well, I'm meeting another person of color, so they're going to be late. So okay. I can be late. And also it's just like the cool thing to do when you're the chick in the equation.
Yeah. Okay.
5 minutes late. I arrive. I'm now annoyed with him. And
is he 5 minutes, you're 5 minutes late. Is he also late?
Yeah. So I get a table, lurking there by myself on my phone. Next thing he rocks up, I'm like, yo, I'm annoyed now. And he's like, you're late. So I said, excuse me. And he said, I was here at 10:02. I saw you drive in. I watched you walk in and I came out now. And I was like, okay, so I'm in the wrong. Sat down with this guy. And remember I said to you, I wasn't sure about the level of conversation because already I like the guy. But I mean, if you can't keep me interested and entertained, it's tickets for you.
Yeah.
We sat there the whole afternoon.
All right. Okay. So it actually went pretty well.
It did go well. There was just one problem. He lied to me about what he does.
Ooh.
And I'd already Googled and I knew and I was just asking and then he lied and I was just like, well, if you're lying on the first date about what you do and I already know.
But I mean, what kind of lie? Is
no,
it
was a proper lie. So I know what he does between 9 and 5 and he went like left to the middle. I don't know if he was trying to be cool because I'm in entertainment, but he lied and said he's in entertainment and then like try to connect with me on that level. And I know he's not. Like, I genuinely know he's not. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. And people are like, maybe he started a new job. I'm like, really? In the 2 seconds that he's known me, he's now started a new job in a different industry and field completely.
That's a big step.
So we spent the afternoon chatting and that was it. And I'm okay not to date him. Like, I mean, it was also for the free food. So.
And how was the food? Like, you know what? I was going to tee it up, but the big question was, how was the food?
It was amazing. Nice. We went to a place called Possums in Hyde Park, Craycall Park.
Yeah, that's where you take special people.
Best food ever. So, yeah, it was really nice, except for the lie.
Cool. So your weekend got off to a good start. Did it maintain that?
Yeah, I feel like you're asking really deep questions now. So remember I said on Friday as well, I was shadowing Kevin Reno, who's a paramedic.
Yes, oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah. I saw a dead body for the first time in my life, and that shook me to the core.
Now, when you mentioned this on Friday, it's reminded me of this thing I did for, I was doing this like campaign for this multivitamin.
Yeah.
And what I had to do was I either had to be a paramedic or a fireman for a night.
Oh, wow.
But I didn't get to choose. They just said, okay, well, you're going to be a fireman, and then this group, they're going to be paramedics. And I was like, okay, that's a bit of a score, actually, because, you know, obviously, you slide down the fireman's pole, you get to go in the big truck. Yeah, so I would prefer that. And obviously, paramedics in this country, it's hectic. Paramedics at month end.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. So when you were mentioning this on Friday, I was like, wow, you're going to see some stuff. And apparently, so when I did the fireman thing, there was nothing. There was nothing. I sat in that fire station for like 3 hours just asking polite questions. then they were either bored of the questions or just bored because we then got in the truck and just drove around.
Did you at least get to slide down the pole?
I did.
Oh, that's cool.
Twice. We went to another fire station where I found their pole and I slid down there as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I had a pretty boring time. My friends who went in the paramedic thing, they also saw a dead body for the first time. And just like what you just said now, it definitely shakes you. And you, even though you kind of expect it,
it's the worst thing ever. And also, I think what threw me the most was that we'd had like a relatively quiet-ish day. Yep. And we'd started in the afternoon at like 2 and we were going to knock off at like 8 because we had like dinner plans and everything. And because I was with a friend, I'd kind of like, I was a bit comfortable. We were talking. He was talking to us through everything, like telling us about the needles and what a P1 and a P2 and a P3 and a P4, and all these different technical terms. So I kind of felt like, okay, I could do this. And then at the end of the night, literally, we like drove to Northumberland and Witkoppen, and there was a guy who'd been run over. And as we arrived, like we were missioning through the traffic, and as we arrived, we got out the car, and one of the other paramedics just was like, we're declaring him, but like so nonchalantly that I was like, honestly, I just started crying. I was a mess. It was horrific. I'll never forget that experience. And also to just be around someone who loses their life, like
Yeah, exactly. Like we live our lives. We do our own thing. But what happens out there is crazy. Mm. But like you're saying, how nonchalantly it all happens. Mm. Just think if that's your job. Mm. Every day you're basically saying, okay, well that person's dead. We need to deal with that person. And that's how you got to be. You got to be so clinical. Like, it's just a different way of living completely.
And my thing was, like, obviously now I'm like, how long did you guys resuscitate? If I've got questions, because I'm like, I'm sure you could just do another 30 minutes and you would always come to. And they were like, no, that's not how it works. Jeez. And also now for someone like that who was just crossing the road, you don't know where they're from. If they don't have any identification, when do you phone the family? Like, there were so many questions running through my mind while I was in tears. The only one, by the way, who was moved by this, obviously, because everyone else seems to have seen a dead body before, been around one.
Exactly.
Except for me. So, yeah, harrowing, but a very enlightening experience. And I don't know, I now want to be part of this whole saving lives thing, but I don't know that my heart and my head and everything else can handle it. I need therapy after that.
It definitely is like a separate kind of calling. I don't have the stomach for it. Well, maybe I do. It's just not something I look into, but it is like you get these people who dedicate their lives to it. So you look at them do this and you think, wow, they're either getting paid so much money or they're adrenaline junkies. But some people are actually just good people.
Mm-hmm.
Like your friend Kevin. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got other stuff on the go in his life.
Yeah.
But he's doing this because he's making a difference.
Yep.
Like I admire that kind of stuff. And it is kind of rare as well.
There was another accident that we rushed to before that. And it was like the most frivolous thing ever. This woman obviously had a couple of drinks, got onto a bike, and then was trying to indicate, turn the wrong way, and then another car had bumped her, but she was okay. And she was on the side of the road, chirping everybody. But, like, I could not stop laughing. I was like, I wish I could take a video of this woman so that she can see herself tomorrow morning when the alcohol is out of her system. It was just the level of extremity in terms of what you deal with as well is just, confusing.
Well, we are ultimately like a bit of a disaster as a race, the human
race. Dude.
And we add alcohol to these kind of things. Cheapest alcohol and the cover of night.
Yep.
So still no sign of Gord, but like I said, the whole, you give like an hour with Gord. Yeah, if he comes, he comes. It's all happy times. If you did miss last Friday's show, though, I do suggest going to cliffcentral.com. We had, it's almost becoming like a weekly thing now. Hi, Rob from Amsterdam calls in. And he's got, well, we all know his life is interesting. It's very, very interesting. But this last week in particular, he was telling us how he... It's almost like the fear and loathing in Las Vegas in Amsterdam with Rob because of the drug taking and the people he meets and all the different processes. And I think that he is now Gord's like hero.
Already?
Gord speaks about him. Gord wants to now go to Amsterdam and meet him. It's all very involved now.
I just can't believe how young he is. It just boggles my mind.
Are you looking at them on Instagram again?
I am because my plan was to go to Amsterdam at some point and just like hang out. And apparently he's the go-to guy, but I'm a bit nervous.
Yeah, he's solid. I think he's from Cape Town, but he's been.
Oh, is he Cape Townian?
He's been living there for a few years now, and he's definitely living the life. Now, last week, Sia touched on something that I wanted to get kind of more into. It was about the 25 most influential people on the internet, and this list all these lists are obviously very subjective, and people are going to debate them. That's why these lists always make a lot of like, sort of hoo-ha online. But the most influential, and this is what I couldn't quite get, the most influential people or person on the internet is BTS, behind the scenes. Otherwise,
the band, the pop band,
K-pop.
Yeah.
So I did a bit of digging, and yes, these guys are. Let me get it. Look. I would dispute that the fact that, you know, be influential on the internet doesn't mean you're just really great music wise. You gotta have some sort of other thing on the go, like you're creating something interesting. But their music is just like 400 million up views like per video.
They're major.
And then like this case, so this K-pop thing is like, again, it's another world, which I've just. My point is, these people don't look real. Like, they're too perfect. They've got the same kind of hair. They've got the most perfect skin. They dance like they've been programmed to dance. Like, nothing can be this perfect in this world. Gord, what's your take on K-pop?
K-pop.
As in, yeah.
That Asian pop thing.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know enough to have an informed opinion.
Well, either did I, and then I started watching some of these music videos. And I don't suggest you do that because it's a wormhole you might not find yourself like coming out of.
All I know about it is that people complain about it.
But why?
Saying what?
I don't know. It just seems to be one of those things where people are like, oh my God, kill me now. What's the world coming to? Bitch complain, bitch complain.
420 million views on what I can only say is delightful dancing. But like, it's so clean. Even the settings are perfect. Everything about this is just like a whole different world. You know, like again, going back to like Rick and Morty analogies. It's like you can transport yourself to K-pop world.
It's another
and
dimension.
It's a whole different dimension.
I do know that I watched Jaden Smith's new video, Ghost.
Yes.
Now his like big breakthrough song. Trying to remember what it was called, Icon, was like, in as far as my opinion of young people hip-hop goes, not actually bad. Had some lyrics that rhymed, you know, it made sense when what he was saying.
He wasn't mumbling.
Yeah, he wasn't mumbling. The words were predominantly in a language I understood, and the rhymes actually rhymed, you know. If you took the couplets and looked at them, they were like, oh, those words do phonetically sound similar. And so it was like, you know, it wasn't my taste, but it wasn't an appalling piece of absolute garbage. But the second one is a little bit more kind of on that whole skrr shit. And but the video, he's like trying to make it look like the video is taking place in a manga world. It's like very Asian. Everyone in the video is Asian. They're in like a Tokyo kind of environment where all the buildings are neon. And it was kind of very, a lot of work must have gone into it, kind of very trippy. So that had a distinctly manga Asian vibe. And I think that that's like a theme in hip hop at the moment with the youngsters.
Yeah, Gord, just hang on a second. We're getting some issues over the WhatsApp saying that there's no sound.
No sound?
Yeah.
Gosh.
It's look, there's a massive word here saying muted. Oh, man. Why? I'm here doing my level best and...
That machine, the desk that you're busy working is a mystery to me.
No, it's a mystery to the entire world, okay? So there's this thing saying program one, and now I've got messages saying, Ben, what's going on here? Oh, you're messing everything up. No. Yes.
Yes. Gareth jewels that
no.
thing.
Yeah.
Gareth jewels that thing like Stevie Wonder jewels a keyboard. He doesn't even look at it. He just bangs and like makes stuff happen. He's got background music coming out the wazoo, and it makes it look so easy. I look at it and I'm like, but God, the lights.
God, it's not tough. Anyone can do this. But why on earth, the day that I sit down here, I've never seen this in my entire life.
So can people not hear us at all?
Probably not.
So we're dead air.
Maybe. You know what? We're gonna play a song by Trey Songz. sorry, we'll be right back. For some reason, it's not difficult to do this thing, Gord. It really isn't. And I'm not gonna justify it. I'm just gonna try to sort this out for you. I'm loving you tonight. Touching, loving, fucking, can't make up my mind. Cliff Central Monday morning. Gord is here. Poppy is here. We're all back. Sorry, technical difficulties this morning.
Wow. Proper technical difficulties. Jeez.
But everything's going to be okay. Gord, it was good to see you today.
And you, Ben.
How was your weekend? Was it pretty intense?
Unexpected, Joel, and also with a combination of what I feel is probably the seasonal cold that I'm likely to get. So I'm feeling pretty rough. And the whole thing was I had this plan. Like I was going to settle in and watch World Cup. Yes. Then you get that friend who you haven't seen for ages who's suddenly in town and won't take no for an answer. And now I'm all about like, yes, it's just feeling like I could use a weekend. But I'm fine. Yeah, all good.
What, did you get like heavily puzzled?
And also on Sunday
Did you go to Hell's Kitchen?
No, I didn't. It was more like in-house dueling. But the fatal schoolboy error, which ironically as a schoolboy you would have gotten away with, was letting the jewels spill over onto Sunday. And you're like, no, it's in the day. So it'll be fine. It's day jeweling. It won't affect me. And it does. It does. I'm old.
Well, I went to this box and dine thing on the Friday.
Yes!
Guys, that was so much. We have to wait until the second hour to get into it. It was...
Really?
It was one of the strangest yet interesting nights I've had in Joburg for quite some time. I told you it's like this institution for some people, and it's very much... The boxing was pretty good. They gave us like this oversized T-bone steak, and then there was just strippers.
Nice, Lord.
Old, crusty men and young strippers. But we need to get into the five things you need to know here. We'll get back to weekend stories in a bit, but we need to get into the five things you need to know because Poppy and I have a lot of stories. And, it's a very interesting start. It's the July. As Gareth would say, I can't believe it's July. So while he's away, I'll say things that he says from time to time. Just make you feel familiar.
I can't bloody believe it's July.
I can't believe it's July. I can't. Poppy, what are some of the things you need to know this morning?
Some of the things. Where should we start? Let's start with Donald Trump gay crashing people's weddings. So apparently it's a thing that he does from time to time is that he'll go, obviously, properties and, you know, places that he owns, and he'll gate crash someone's wedding and be like, ta-da! And then...
Yes, that's what a dick move.
But when Maroon 5 do it, everything's okay.
No, because one, they're contributing music when they do it, and two, everyone loves Maroon 5, and if they don't, they can at least... pretend that they do on the day.
By everyone, you mean lots of people.
Lots of people. But that's what I'm saying. So you can pretend. You can't pretend to be okay with Trump. And that was going to be my yes. question is that this wedding was at one of his golf courses, the New Jersey one. And what happens when he gay crashes your wedding and you're not a fan? Do you have to pretend?
Politely ask him to leave.
What kind of gifts are you bringing?
He planted, maybe this is the gift, is that he planted a kiss on the bride.
Oh, no, that's not a kiss.
How presumptious.
I mean, look, if you'd done a bit of research prior and you knew that they were like big supporters.
That's what I was going to ask.
Sadly, the Oak does have a significant amount of supporters. So, you know, if you knew that they were going to be thrilled to have you there, as much as like I would rather chainsaw my ears off than listen to any more of Maroon 5, especially now that they've done that diabolical World Cup song, you know,
one song out of like 1,000.
Yeah, I mean, I hate all 1,000 of their songs, but the one that gets played before, after, and during every ad break on the World Cup is the worst.
Yeah, I just think it's the car manufacturer's problem that.
Yeah, like, well, it actually is.
Or at least provide a second verse for a next string of adverts in the knockouts or something.
Yeah, my one friend who moved to the UK actually works in like licensing music, and he was directly involved in that project. And he came back to South Africa for a brief visit. This was a couple of weeks ago, and said, "Yeah, dude, he's just worked on this World Cup ad, and it's going to be very irritating very quickly. He's like, and the Oaks in Maroon 5, and again, this is all like just a mate of mine that works in that industry. He was like, yeah, they were a little bit confused as to why they were supposed to cover a Bob Marley song, because they're not in the business of covers. But they were like, hey, you know, it's a lot of money, we'll do it.
Really? Anyway,
I think to get back to your story, like, you would, if you... You know, the Foo Fighters do these surprise concerts in people's garages.
Yep.
And they go, but they investigate, like, who their biggest fans are, and they go do it there. So if you were, like, a registered Trump supporter who had organized a local Make America Suck Like Dog Shit rally, oh, wow, then maybe him arriving at the wedding would be the best thing ever. Mm. I'd ask him to leave. I once, with a friend of mine, accidentally went to a big 21st that was the wrong people's 21st.
How did that happen?
And it took them probably half an hour to an hour, I can't remember, about 45 minutes, to pluck up the courage to ask us who we are and ask us to leave. Because it was my best friend Gumpy's very much younger cousin's 21st. And like, he literally knows the Oak's parents and the kid and hasn't seen him much in the last few years. So... We arrived and it was a 21st, and there was a 21st going, and we looked for seating and we sat down and we kind of stretched our necks looking for my friend's cousin, and I didn't know what he looked like to begin with. And we were kind of starting to wonder after like half an hour, where is he? But they hadn't started with like the speeches and the festivities yet. People were getting drinks at the bar, whatever. And then eventually some guy came and sort of awkwardly asked us who we are and why we're there, and we said we're looking for whatever the guy's name is, and he told us, no, it's the wrong one, we have to leave. Turns out this venue is like a out in the cradle, multiple venue.
How much of their booze did you have?
Yeah, one or two drinks. We should have gone big. The point was that they were sort of awkwardly looking at us for a long time, trying
guys,
to figure out
no,
who we were.
No, this is unacceptable. You were listening to the speeches and you didn't realize
no,
that it was the wrong person.
They hadn't started.
Poppy, I'm with you on this.
No, that was
George
why.
George being a chancer.
That was why we didn't know, was they hadn't started any of that stuff yet. People were just mingling, and we thought, well, it's his 21st. He must be off doing a mingle elsewhere.
And everyone's looking around going, oh my gosh, it's Heavy D. He's at our party.
The white Heavy
G,
D.
G.
Heavy G, sorry.
But then we had to saunter across the venue and find the other 21st and walk in as the speeches and stuff were happening. You know, when you couldn't be more noticeable.
This is so hectic.
Anyway, so
they
politely asked us to leave. Well, they awkwardly asked us to leave. I would awkwardly ask Donald to leave.
Yeah, okay. Sure. You live an interesting life. You really do. So, I don't know if you guys remember Listeriosis.
Yes, yeah.
There's a new report that was done by the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, the NCID, released last week, that Listeriosis could have contaminated and spilled over into other products, so not just the polony and the Viennas and the meat. So, I'm just putting it out there that y'all should...
Stop eating anything.
Just quit the meat, bros. Yeah. Like,
so, Poppy, you've been vegan for how long now? You are vegan, right?
Jeez, yeah. So, 2010.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's not just having a dabble.
No, it's not. I go big or I go home. But I don't know that we were immune with this Listeriosis. I mean, we don't eat polony and Viennas, but there was still kind of a scare with the fruit and the veg, and we were told to wash that thoroughly as well. So
yeah.
I don't know if that vegans were safe, but the fact that it's spilling over into other products also might
that was
be
always
a cause for concern.
I think Australia was the first case where this kind of thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that does send shockwaves through everyone's kind of, you know, because there were people who were very high might say, well, I don't eat crap like that, so I'm safe.
Mm-hmm. And then it's like, wha-bam. Speaking of being vegan, the other extreme is being a chicken lover. Mm-hmm. Have you guys seen the story about the KFC complaint?
Like, it's not actually real wings or something. It's
Well, apparently the size of the wings and the amount of the wings is the problem. Apparently they sell 4 Zinger wings, but it's 2 Zinger wings cut into half.
Yeah,
so
it's
sons of bitches.
It's the double bone bit. And the single bone bits.
I really hope this makes it into Anthea's finance section for the morning.
I don't know that it will. So the Advertising Standards Authority has dismissed the case. But I understand what this guy is saying is that it's misleading that you can chop a piece of chicken into 4 pieces and then sell it as 4 wings.
Yeah.
When you can see what a wing looks like.
But they're winglets. Like Nando's did that as well. They used to sell peri-crusted wings. Well, they still do.
Yeah.
But it was an entire wing. And then they're like... changed it from 4 of those to like 6 winglets. And the idea is that then it's like, but what do they call them? Buffalo wings, that kind of thing. They've always been done this way.
Okay, but so, you know, the wing is quite, you can see when something is a wing or not.
It's got three
not.
Parts. It's got the flipper, the two bone parts, and the bit that's like a mini drumstick.
Yeah, I cooked wings yesterday, actually.
Yeah, it's got the little.
So you can cut it into three pieces.
Yeah, sure. very easily, and I mean it's normal. What do they do? They call them buffalo wings. That's always been they've always been presented in that way.
Also, the most misleading piece of food items ever.
Yeah, and I would imagine Jessica Simpson was heartbroken when she found out that buffaloes don't have wings.
Yeah. So that's what I've got. What do you have?
Well, we've got a man with no penis has finally been given a penis. Did you hear that story last week?
I saw
South Africa.
So he's the second bionic man.
So yeah, basically, one in every I had this again. Seriously, I'm having like the worst morning. I really am.
Yeah, are we here for you though, Ben?
Gord, the fact that you are here for me actually does make me a whole lot better. I'll get to it in a second. But basically, there's this really strange case where you can be born without a penis.
Oh my gosh.
So without one at all, not as just in, a very small one or one that doesn't work.
No, you don't, I mean, obviously the micro penis is something that we've all sort of picked up before, we've all spoken about. But no, like legit no penis.
Jeez, look.
And it's the funny thing about this whole operation was that in order to get everything going, the guy had to endure like a 10-day erection.
Shame.
Well, that means making up for lost time, right?
But that is so throughout his whole life, he had no penis, and obviously he became quite depressed and that kind of stuff. So obviously you think like, okay, well, this is my lot in life.
Does he have balls?
Does have balls, yes, good question. So you think like, okay, well, he was like going through it and saying, well, I don't have a penis, you know, this is my lot in life, whatever, whatever. But ultimately, that's going to mess with you psychologically.
Sure.
So there was two cases where he wanted to commit suicide. So then his doctor basically then put forward the motivation to say, look, this guy needs a penis. Whether you like it or not, he needs a penis. And they went and did this whole operation. So
I would imagine that was a short motivation letter. Like, I wouldn't fill out the 15-page form to justify why a man needs a penis. We're like, Matt, reason, no penis.
Yeah, just
solution,
no penis.
Solution, penis.
Another, a penis. So
signed by the doctor.
It cost around 900,000 rand for this whole thing to be done.
Wow.
And there he is, Andrew Waddle.
Does it have sensation? I mean, how much detail do you have there?
I didn't get into the sensation part, but he can make it work by just pressing a button, essentially.
So, this man is 44.
He's 44. He's British, sorry. That was the big thing there. And, he's well aware of the fact that he's different. I mean, look, I'm sure he'll get some sympathy lays straight out of the
Yeah,
the
some people just would want to be be the person that shagged the bionic dick.
Yeah, so he literally, he presses a button and hey presto. So he says, you know, he's like, unlike guys his age, he can perform when he's drunk.
I'm thinking like, if you've got nuts, you're probably producing the necessary chemicals to be very horny all the time, you know? So that must be terribly frustrating. But they just eventually explode out the side if there's no way to empty them.
Wow, I'm learning so much right now.
Well, maybe you could have been a doctor.
Yes, I missed my calling. I should have been a doctor.
This is actually, it is quite something. Game of Thrones fans, it has been announced there'll be more deaths in this final season than any other season of Game of Thrones.
Jeez.
Was this a surprise to anybody?
I wonder if we're talking, though, main character deaths or fodder deaths.
Well, it's the last season, Gord, so we're getting to the point where there's going to obviously be the throne, the game stops of the throne.
So we hope.
There's no more throning around. It'll be the one person left.
Although with their like massive propensity for disappointing people on purpose, which is also kind of their thing, you might find like in the final episode, the throne itself gets destroyed and plot twist, there's no throne.
Yeah, the throne gets melted down. Everyone gets a necklace and goes home.
Yeah.
Yeah, spoiler. Look, that's all we've got time for, the five things you need to know today. I know we're getting lots of messages from people who are saying, do you guys realize that your feed is down? Yeah, we do. We do. Yeah. And we do have someone working on it. But this is what happens in entertainment. And we can make things go on a bit more. Sorry, I don't have my theme music this morning. That's another technical issue. Let's just carry on.
Ben with the sport. Ben, sport, Ben.
Oh my gosh, Gord, that was actually the new intro.
Yeah.
Gord recorded that in the studio last week. He just did it live for you. But we must get into the sport because obviously the World Cup is a real major deal right now. And we had, two contrasting days in the round of 16. Now, I was, of course, very confident on Friday. I said, look, I'm going to call all these games. I'm going to put money on this. I'm going to win. And I put money on Argentina to lose to France. Argentina lost to France.
Nice. How much rent did you get out of that one?
Well, I had like an accumulator.
Oh, like a multi-bet.
So I put like a simple 100 rent down on 6 outcomes.
Shoo-wee.
And it would have returned 4,200 rand. And
would have implies that it didn't all go your way.
Would have, as it implies, everyone know what happened with Spain yesterday. But we'll get to that in a second.
Yes.
Because Portugal-Uruguay, also fantastic match. Sorry, France winning that one 4-2. Fantastic match, Uruguay versus Portugal. So no Ronaldo going through. No Messi going through because Uruguay won that one 2-1. So we've got the two best players in the world out of the World Cup. And many are saying it's actually a really good thing because they detract from the actual action.
Yes. Or add to it if they score millions of goals.
But that's, yeah. It's.
But I know what you mean. The focus is on them and not national sides.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I always believe this. Football is one big pantomime anyway. Just watch these guys when hit the floor. So you got me too rough about that. But they're gone. And I don't think the World Cup's going to really lose anything as such because when you're watching Portugal, when you're watching Argentina, they're pretty average sides. And then those two, there's so much hype and there's so much anticipation about what they do. You're right, Gord, it's too much on the actual players.
Mm.
But then yesterday was, on complete contrast, two pretty boring matches. Like Spain versus Russia was boring.
It was
so boring.
Until the penalties and extra time.
I was just sticking around through all of it because, like, you know, when a game's a draw in other formats, it's a draw. But I was like, please, I really wanted to just get my shit together and go to bed. As I said, I've had a bit of a rough weekend. And I was like, oh God, it's going to go on longer. Oh God, it's still going to go on longer. And then you go, oh, there's going to be penalties. Now I do want to stick around for that.
Exactly. It's the worst thing. It's like having a really cuck dinner, but then your mother says you got to have it all, otherwise there's no dessert.
I made your favorite ever dessert, and
So you're going to eat this...
The broccoli apocalypse in order to get through.
The broccoli apocalypse. You have
to
eat it all.
That's exactly what it was.
So that's what happened with Spain and Russia. Russia managed to get an equalizer in the first half, and everyone was thinking, well, Spain is going to kind of, you know, go ahead and win this one. But then they just kept crawling and crawling. They just kept passing aimlessly to each other, and it was dreadful.
And I mean, the stats were like... There were like many times as many passes. Like at the end of the first half, it was 400 passes to 102.
Yeah. So literally they were just trying to get like pass bonus points.
They were Louis van Gaaling it around.
It was dreadful. So it was always going to go to penalties. And, you know, the Russians, when it comes to long distance affairs, long distance as in like physical exertion. Yeah. These guys, they run forever. I don't know how, but let's not speculate. But they run forever. And then they got to penalties. And then David De Gea is... what happened, Gord? You're a Man United fan.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that he gets all of his bad luck out of his system during the World Cup and comes back being perfect as he is when he plays for United.
Well, I just think all his good saves were wasted on United because, let's be honest, this entire World Cup he's been dreadful.
Yeah, I mean, look, I agree with you. He's had some misfortune. He made one howler. Who was it against? Portugal.
First game.
Yeah, and since other than that, it's just like keeper beating shots.
I also think it's tricky, guys, to let it be up to the keeper at that point in time. Like,
yeah, but I mean, like when it comes to the penalties, he wasn't even getting close. He wasn't. I mean, if he just left,
he got a hand on one.
Yeah, but it was like a nonchalant hand.
Well, he got a hand. Like he parried it. And it still went into the goal. It was very good.
The Russian guy saved too.
Yes, I know, but...
Because Vlad had been in the change room telling him what time it is.
All I'm saying is that he's had some bad luck and one real howler. It can happen. But, hopefully he's out of his system because he's consistently usually very, very good.
Sure. Okay, well, Russia won that one, so they go through. And then they were going to then play the winner of Croatia-Denmark. I thought, okay, easy, Croatia, right?
I love that Croatian team.
And Croatia, well, they were 1-0 down, like, straight away. Then they drew 1-1. And 4 minutes in, we had two goals. It was very, very exciting. And then nothing. Basically nothing. Into extra time again, nothing. And then Croatia got a penalty in extra time. And it got saved.
Yeah, Schmeichel. Apparently.
Schmeichel saved a penalty. We then get into penalties. Schmeichel saves another two while his dad's watching on going, jeepers, I've got the best dad in the world. Look at my son. He's incredible. Mm. Schmeichel saved three penalties and Denmark still lost. Croatia going through 3-2 on penalties. So they'll now take on Russia. Uruguay versus France. Those are the quarterfinals. But today we get to experience the excitement of Brazil versus Mexico at 4 o'clock South African time.
Oh,
and then we've got Belgium versus Japan.
Right in the middle of working hours.
well, for working people, essentially. Yeah. Mm. And then after that, the round of 16 will be wrapped up with Sweden versus Switzerland on Tuesday at 4 and Colombia versus England at 8 o'clock. So the World Cup was good this weekend. I mean, some of those games were really great, but I just think FIFA must really just stop kidding everybody. If you can't get a result in 90 minutes, go to penalties.
No extra time. No,
I don't mind the extra time. I think it then goes down to endurance, focus.
No, it goes down to teams becoming defensive.
Half an hour more play.
That's too much, Gord.
I don't mind it. I'm
too much. People are zoning out.
Yeah, it gets a bit much if it's constant, but the odd game needs extra time, I think.
Okay. Well, you know, Gord, this is why we have a show, so people can have these different opinions. Mm. In rugby over the weekend, yes, there was Super Rugby. Anybody care about this? Just show of hands.
For the benefit of the listening audience, there are no hands being shown.
Show of hands. Anyone really getting Super Rugby the weekend? No, but the Agawadith, they beat the Stormers 25-14. Now, what's happening with the Agawadith is that while SA Rugby seems to not care about Super Rugby, these guys are racking up the wins, and there's a chance they might even win the African Conference. We'll get into that closer to this coming weekend as they carry on while the Lions have a bye. Speaking of the Lions, who have always been SA's one and only chance of winning this tournament, they went down 31-24 to the Sox.
I don't even know what a Jaguarith is.
Well, it's
Jaguar.
It's
the Jaguarith.
Guys,
okay.
It's culturally inappropriate to say Jaguars. It's Hagawadith.
I was making it English and anglicizing it for him.
Yes.
Don't ever try to go to Gord's level.
It's culturally appropriate sometimes to translate words from other languages for people who don't know what they mean.
It's a big cat in South America.
Yes. Gord. I'm sorry my Spanish is not culturally acceptable.
Speaking of mythical animals, the Sun Wolves beat the Bulls 42-37. The Sun Wolves bring up some sneaky wins here. The Brumbies, they beat the Hurricanes 24-12. That's a huge result there because they went for such a long time. There's something like 40 games where New Zealand teams beat Australians. And now the Australians are fighting back. The Highlanders, well, they were 41-0 down or 40-0 down at halftime to the Chiefs. That game was eventually 22-45 to the Chiefs. The Rebels, they lost to the Waratahs 31-26. And the Blues, they finally won something, and handsomely so. They beat the Reds 39-16. So that's Super Rugby. I know we've got a couple rounds to go, then we got the playoffs, but it's a big worry that the Lions aren't, I mean, Warren Whiteley's back. But, big win for the Sharks there. I just don't see us progressing past anything meaningful in the knockout stages, which, again, isn't the worst thing. Wimbledon starts this week. Hooray! Of course, Serena Williams has been seeded. Roger Federer is the top seed. But maybe this could be Serena's final at Wimbledon. I'm going to call it right now.
Why?
Well, she seems quite nostalgic about going into this whole thing. She's been talking differently about her, you know, the prospect of playing at SW19, as tennis geeks will call it. But you think about it, like, she's done everything. She is the greatest. She's now got a kid.
Mm.
And she's in her mid-30s. Now, I know, I'm in my mid-30s. You get to that stage, and it's hard to stay fit, strong, and vibrant.
Yes, it is.
I mean, just look at us. Look at the show as an example today. Yeah. So this could be Serena's final ever Wimbledon. She, of course, hasn't said as much, but I wouldn't be surprised if it is. Andy Murray has pulled out, so his hip is still dodgy, which means that Kyle Edmund will be the one that everyone will be saying, come on, Kyle, between every single point on the hill and at Wimbledon itself. It's good to know these kind of things. Chris Froome is still in the investigation for having too much asthma medication in his system. And many people are saying, like, look, he should not be in the Tour de France while they investigate this thing. Of course, Sky and their many lawyers will say, well, it's fine, he will be in it, because he just won the Giro, of course, the Giro d'Italia. So he is very much the favorite to win the Tour de France. But there's a fair comment, though. If you're in investigation for something that's really against the ethos of the sport, then why are you still allowed to be in it?
Because you're not yet proven guilty.
Yes, but there's a red flag over him, Gord.
Yeah, but then you just put red flags over people when they're a threat. I mean, it's innocent until proven guilty. I remember, and it's tangentially related, is when Gary Oldman won the Oscar.
Tangentially?
Sorry.
Either way, well done.
When Gary Oldman won the Oscar for Best Actor for his portrayal of Winston Churchill in this recent Oscars, People were like,
also asthma medication.
His wife has accused him of being abusive during their wedding. His children have defended him and said it's not true. Therefore, the Academy must not give him the Oscar for being the best actor that year. It's like, dude, first of all, it's an allegation that's disputed. Secondly, it's one allegation. Like, and even so, until he's convicted of a crime, it's not up to the Academy. They're there to say who acted best. But there was this big outcry, and it's like, no, you have to be innocent until proven guilty.
Well, tangentially, Gord, I'll take your side on this.
Yeah.
Not really, but I'll say...
Does he have asthma?
No, he has the will to win. He has the desire to win. I think it's what he's.
I understand, though, in cycling, it's so rife with cheating and has been for so long that, you know, the suspicions immediately are like, well, we're trying to restore the reputation of the sport, immediately take harsh action. But if he's found guilty, then whatever he does in the Tour de France has got to be retracted and nullified. But until then, that's what an investigation is, to see whether there's no problem or a problem.
Nice, Gord. Spot on.
That is what they do, right?
Yeah, okay. So that's pretty much it with the sport. I know World Cup's dominating everything. So if you're on a football fan right now, well, the Rugby Championship is coming. Cricket-wise, South Africans are heading over to Sri Lanka. So the 12th of July, we'll see the first test match there. They'll be playing in Gaul. That's not from Asterix. That's from Sri Lanka. And that's the 12th of July. 6:30 in the morning where these test matches will start. So if you like cricket, hope is coming. Everything's going to be A-OK. I tell you what's also coming. It is Anthea on the finance. Now, Anthea is the most prepped person here. She arrives on a Monday. She's got all her notes, looking ready for a big week ahead.
Excited. And it's great to have her in studio. Excited because work.
Ah, Gord, give her the headphones. God, this is terrible.
I don't know these things. I've never...
trying to run a good radio show here.
Yeah, says the Oak, who's not getting the radio show to work.
Speaking of technicalities, we now have real technicians, engineer people in studio right now who are solving our issues.
So in theory, we are going out to podcast. So those people listening in podcast, theoretically, should this actually work, will be not aware of the fact that our live listeners are getting zero output.
I know. It makes no sense. And for some of you, are saying, well, why are you telling me this? Doesn't affect me.
Yes.
I get that.
That's why. But this is for the benefit of those podcast listeners. This is what we're muttering about.
This is like herding cats. I know. I have two cats. This is 10 times worse. Anthea, hi. Hi. How was your weekend?
Ben, it was a good weekend. Thanks.
Why are you not on? Sorry. Anthea,
good morning, Ben. Oh, there we go.
There's Anthea.
I had a very good weekend, thank you. How was yours?
Anthea, my weekend was actually pretty good. All things considered, it was a whole lot better than my Monday morning, which is becoming evidently clear to anybody in proximity to me.
Oh, dear. Shall we just carry on, regardless?
Yeah. Anthea, yes. We need a touch of professionalism here, and you being here is a sight for sore eyes.
So where shall we start? With Friday's market?
Yeah.
Friday was month and quarter end, by the way. The market was flying on Friday, up 3.5%, 3.25%, which basically was all the gains for the month of June. So really, we had a terrible flat month. Mm-hmm. Last week was actually pretty rubbish, generally speaking. But then Friday was great. So I guess it's all good. The rand still volatile as ever, 13.72 to the US dollar. And for those of our colleagues and friends who are in London, 18.10 to the pound. Don't forget, petrol's going up on Wednesday. It's currently
very expensive.
Yeah.
Again. Yep. It's going up by R2, I believe.
They're adding an extra A to lank expensive. That's what they do. It was lank expensive, then it was lank expensive. Now it's lank expensive.
Well, no surprise, really, with the rand so weak. And oil, Brent crude, is now $78 a barrel. So, of course, petrol will go up.
Shit, and I was about to buy a barrel of Brent crude. Put it out of budget.
To refine and put in your car in your electric car, tell
handy.
Me. All right, some good news. The employment stats for South Africa came out last week, so non-farm payrolls in our case was up 0.6%.
Hooray.
Yeah, 56,000 jobs were created in the first quarter.
Oh, I know what those are, extra waiters for World Cup matches at bars.
Oh, you might have a point.
It's the World Cup. We've all got to shift those kegs and serve those wings.
Wingless false advertising, Ben.
I almost don't want to say the next sentence. The largest quarterly jobs gains were registered in community services and construction.
Why don't you want to say that?
Because that dispels Ben's theory.
Oh, it's fine. Anthea, I'm not winning today. You can destroy it all you want.
If there was ever a day to take on Ben,
I'm just happy it's a 0.06 or something.
Okay. Some bad news, though. Growth in compensations, so gross earnings, so your pay packet, decreased by 3.4% quarter on quarter.
Yes, it did.
Did it feel... I
Oh, right. Backing you up.
Okay. I'm going with that. except in business services Sectors.
I'm not in there. Business.
Yeah, there you go. Right. We need to talk about Steinhoff because this is a movie playing out in front of us.
What's happening now?
Yeah. So, first of all, the founder of Techie Town, Bram van Haestien, walked out a couple of weeks ago. And then last week, the CEO, COO, CIO, and 100 other top managers walked out. So basically, Techie Town's falling apart. Wow. On top of that, Bram van Haestien, who's the founder, has said he's going to start another Techie Town. So T2, he's calling it. Very original.
But the public are not going to know what that's like. Like, they're going to see it on the side of the road. Ooh, a T2. Let's go there.
Yeah, he's got some marketing to do, if he's going to do it. He is suing Steinhoff, basically, because he's saying that they misled him because they paid him, when they bought Techie Town, they paid him in Steinhoff shares, which are now 97% worth less than when he got them.
T2 would be an improvement for me, though, because I literally cannot shop at Techie Town because it's called Techie Town.
Techie. It's an E. That's even...
It's worse.
It's even worse.
Oh, just leave Anthea alone now. You've just
no, I'm with him on this.
I'm saying I can't bear it. I can't bring myself to shop there because of that name. So I'll go to T2 and buy a pair of sneakers.
In none of the 368 stores. Can you believe that?
She's lucky. Oh, they are fairly ubiquitous, though.
It's quite amazing. And on top of that, Bram van Haestien, the founder, owns some of the properties and is now giving Techie Town notification on those properties. So basically, he's going to try and put them out of business.
Why is he doing that?
Because when
and what
Steinhoff
about the people that work there?
Yeah.
That's
right,
a real issue.
This is a movie waiting to happen.
I suspect he's just going to employ them in T2 now.
I would hope so, because if he owns the property and he's giving the Techie Town bloody notice that they're not going to be able to use to rent there, then immediately just change the sign and hire the same people, I would hope.
And take on the same stock?
Yeah, hope so.
And then Christo Visser sold another 3.9 billion rands worth of ShopRite shares last week at 2.10 rand. The share was trading at about 2.27, traded down to 2.24. So Visser making good on his promise to liquidate his assets so that he could pay some debts, clearly. This placement really was out of one of his investment holding companies called Titan Premier Investments, but he has previously sold 4.2 billion rands worth of shares in his personal name.
Life's
tough when you're a billionaire.
Yeah, I'm no mathlete, but it sounded like he liquidated a couple of billion there. And I'm going to give some of my billions, like, geez, billions.
So he liquidated 2% of his ShopRite shares. He still owns 13%.
Yes.
Sure. Now you're doing the maths, right? 6 times 3.9 or 4 billion. There you go. That's what he's still got left in ShopRite shares.
Wow. Yes, like.
Okay.
Those are problems I want.
And then Steinhoff finally reported on Friday, 20 minutes before the market closed, which is a bit cheeky because obviously no one has a chance to read the results and so they can't react on them, but I suspect things will happen this morning. I don't even know where to start. There's so much about these things. I think the most important thing is that last year, March, they reported an operating profit of 903 million euros. This year, they reported an operating loss of 168 million euros. Ooh. That's a billion euros down the drain in a year. The other most bizarre thing about this, actually, is that do you know what preference shares are?
Mm-hmm.
So there's shares or normal shares in a company. You go, you buy shares, the share goes up and down, you sell it hopefully, buy it low, sell it high. Preference, and if the company declares a dividend, they'll pay you a cash or share dividend every year or twice a year. Preference shares means that you have a right on the debt or the cash of the business before ordinary shareholders. So you get a preferential pref share dividend. They don't have to declare a dividend, but for some bizarre reason on Friday, Steinhoff declared a pref share dividend of 4.27, which makes it even crazier because the share was suspended last year sometime. If you are short pref shares, because you know you can go long, as in buy the shares, and go short, as in borrow and sell them, even though you don't own them. You knew that, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Totally. Pref shares, selling short, buying long, short. it's outrageous.
So if you are short Steinhoff pref shares, the problem is when you're short is that you actually have to pay the dividend in lieu of the company that has declared it. And because the shares were suspended, you can't actually trade them. So even if you wanted to buy back those shares, you couldn't. Because don't forget, you'd sold them, so you need to buy them back.
So it sounds like shady vibes is what you're telling us.
Yeah, it's not cool, man. It's just not cool, actually, to declare a pref share dividend on a share that's suspended and not trading.
Beth, you often allude back to the whole Steinhoff story, and you give us great updates about the inner workings of all these things. But Marcus Uster, like, still, what is to become of him? Like, I still can't quite join the dots as to where, where is this guy?
So I believe he's been spotted in Plett and Argentina selling his horses. I don't actually know what he's doing. What I do think is happening behind the scenes is that the German authorities are investigating everything that's going on at the moment, and they've been waiting for these results. So Heatherson, who stepped in as the chair, said on Friday that they've realized that there are, I think the number was 650 million euros worth of transactions that weren't recognized on the books before. And the authorities are basically sitting there going, let me understand what is going on with this company, what this man has done, and then chances are he'll go to jail. He has to go to jail. He has to.
And this is like proper jail, like Henry from Badar jail.
Depends on where he gets
prosecuted.
Thank you. Prosecuted. And I think at this stage it's Germany, so.
Yeah, because when you have a lot of money, jail's a very relative thing. Like, there's jail and there's jail, right? Mm. Mm. So rich people jail can often mean
corporate jail. They'll probably cut down on the number of satellite TV channels he can get.
Yeah, like a Greg Blank vibe. We'll build a gym and then, I'll just chill.
Anyway, he'll be in jail. He won't be able to ride those polo horses. Brian Joffe, another great South African businessman, building Long for Life. Remember them? They listed last year, raised 2 billion rand. Brian Joffe's bought some more. This time he's bought Rage Retail Shoe and Clothing Store. Paid 3.9 billion rand for it. Which he, of course, I've told you that he only raised 2 billion rand when he listed. He will settle this through a combination of shares and cash from his internal resources and bank debt. So basically, he's sticking to his word, building a lifestyle-focused investment holding company, because he previously bought Holdsport, sporting goods distributor, and he also owns Sorbet. Believe it or not, and I did not know this, there are 555 Rage stores across the country. And
wow. That's even bigger than Techie Town.
And they're planning to roll out another 90.
No.
There you go.
Jeepers. I was going to ask, because I've seen the Rage stores and I've kind of followed the Rage story.
So it was started by husband and wife, right?
Yeah. And it's weird because Topshop and all of those shops are closing. I wonder what Rage is doing right, that their shops have stayed open for so long.
And that Brian Joffe is paying 4 billion rand for them.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Yeah. Let's talk about fast fashion very quickly. H&M reported last week as well. Mm-hmm. Profits down a third. So, shocking news. Sales down 60%.
A third.
Uh-huh. Wow. Think about this. Sales down 60%, which means inventory's up. H&M apparently are sitting on the biggest amount of inventory they've ever had, unsold inventory they've ever had in their entire life. $4 billion. So, watch out for the H&M sales, because they need to get rid of that inventory.
Sorry, $4 billion, that's global, right?
Yeah, but it's like sitting in warehouses, unsold, last seasons.
That's a lot of t-shirts and stuff.
Yeah. So apparently they started
God, you're really
sales.
On it today.
No, I mean in terms of physical storage, you said it's in their warehouse. I'm thinking in terms of wow. If you think about $4 billion in unsold stock of clothing and the fact that they've got to put it somewhere, that's a – it's not little small objects that – the warehousing on clothes is hectic. Shh, leave me alone.
It's also a potential fire waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
And shit goes out of fashion, so
And in fact, that is their problem. And that was Mr. Price's problem 2 years ago, is that when they buy the wrong fashion, they don't sell it. and it just sits there, then what do you do? So H&M like has said they're going to have huge sales, and they may even sell clothing in countries where they don't currently operate.
And some donations, hopefully, if they can't move that stuff.
Well, it becomes like a semi-perishable good, really.
Hmm. And it's also already very cheap compared to the Zaras of this world. H&M is like Mr. Price, but called H&M.
All right.
Yeah.
And then what else we got?
And then lastly, yes. Old Mutual is continuing with their conscious decoupling or uncoupling or whatever you call it.
That just sounds like what 60-year-olds do.
Well, what's the name? What's the very famous actress and her musician boyfriend?
Madonna?
Or husband?
No, was it not Gwyneth?
That's it. Gwyneth Paltrow. Thank you very much. Conscious decoupling. Anyway, they've sold off Quilter, which is a UK wealth manager, and it's spun out of Old Mutual and listed separately. And then Old Mutual came back in its original form as an insurance business, which was born in South Africa 173 years ago, to list back on the JSE. And they are now planning to sell down their 54% stake in Nedbank to 19.9%. And if you're wondering why 19.9%, is because then they don't have to reflect it on their balance sheet. I mean, the regulations. But yeah, so Old Mutual, basically, after 173 years of building up this company, they're now breaking it down into smaller parts. And that's me for today.
All right, Anthea, thank you very much. Action-packed money shot there. For Anthea's podcast, of course, all the other stuff that she does, you can go to cliffcentral.com and find her show page. Anthea, thanks very much. Thanks, insightful, Anthea, as always. But, Joe, this whole Marcus Yoster thing, as Anthea says, this can be made into a movie. I mean, if they made Oscar into a movie, they're making all kinds of things in movies. This would be a great story.
But actually, yeah, it would be like probably a more interesting story if they do it better than they did the Oscar story.
I still didn't get to watch that.
I don't think I'm going to find the time for that. But if they dramatize it up like they did with things like Wolf of Wall Street and that kind of stuff, it could actually really be like, it's got like horse trading in Argentina and
it's
like all kinds of rock and roll sexy ass shit going on.
They're probably real time criminals here.
Yeah. Solid criminals.
Yeah, they're probably just like stuffy, boring old dudes who go to, what's it called,
Box and Dine.
Yeah,
Box and Dine.
You could make that a pretty rock and roll story.
Well, get into the Box and Dine story in a bit, but can you imagine the because you know these movies are always like that sort of Hallmark Channel. It's not exactly high profile stuff.
Yes.
Imagine this sort of bit part American actor is going to play Marcus Yoster.
It will feature one of the less famous Baldwins.
Yeah, it would be. It'd be the most spare Baldwin on the day gets the role.
Yeah.
All right, that's the first hour up. Our technical issues are done. Yeah, we had
Jerry Baldwin.
We had technical staff coming in here. They're like a SWAT team of like smart technical stuff, and they're in and everything's sorted.
So Monday's
back on track. Yes, Gord. So
you can glory
put your shirt back on.
This is CliffCentral.com.